Welcome to the Purposeful Parenting Podcast. I'm Harriet Rowe, wife and mother of four adult children, three girls and one boy, all graduates of the United States Military Academy at West Point. Grab a cup of tea or coffee, get cozy, and take in your weekly dose of purposeful parenting. Here we go. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22nd chapter, 6th verse. Welcome to another episode of Purposeful Parenting. Now, a few weeks ago, a listener shared something that she had written, and she shared it with me. I got her permission to share this here today. The names that I will give you are not their real names. Now, when she shared this with me, she was in tears as she explained to me the frustration she's experiencing because she and her husband are not on the same page when it comes to parenting. They are not marching to the same drummer, so to speak. And you can see, and she can see, the damage that it's causing, and you'll be able to see as I read this to you. She starts out by sharing photographs that she has taken of the girl's room in order to show the chaos that all but represents what she feels inside. By the way, these are teenagers. She also shared a picture of the master bedroom that she feels represents the turmoil that she's experiencing. You'll hear her refer to this picture also in this letter. Now, I want you to listen to this letter and see if you can sense the frustration, the disappointment, the grief, and maybe even a mild depression here as she talks about what she's experiencing and the situation. And it stems from the parents not agreeing on how to parent. As you listen, see if you see any of your parenting in any of this. She writes, I attribute what is seen in these photos to inconsistency of an expectation that all family members participate and help with the upkeep and functions of the home, the enabling of children to pick up and choose when they have to help because someone else is going to do it anyway, lack of consistent and habitual expectation of responsibility over time. By this point in their lives, if we'd been doing things right, Sue and Sally shouldn't have to be nagged to do what they are supposed to do. They may not enjoy doing it, but they know it must be done, and done by them. I feel like there are always excuses that you make for them as to why they need to be rescued from responsibility to the point that Sue even uses her homework as an excuse to get out of things. This really is not good. That's not how real life works. When she's an adult, she's going to have to work and do all of the other things that she's not had both parents expecting her to do in her formative years, and someone picking up the slack for her, you. Believe me, I know it's really hard to watch things pile up in the sink. I know it's really hard to watch other things not get done. But I know for a fact that if I do that for the child, which the child is capable of doing for herself, the child will not do it. That isn't good now or in the long run. I am willing to sit in a mess for a bit and ensure that they do their responsibilities if I know it's for their good in the long run. It's not about me. It's about helping me help them to develop children into responsible, clean, neat adults who own their responsibility and can function successfully when high school is complete. They can't own their responsibilities as members of the family if they are sporadically expected to do them. These expectations of kids build pride in a job well done, strong character, commitment, grit, self-worth, and the list could probably go on. Can these attributes be attained in other ways? Of course they can. But the best place to start is young and in the home. Enabling in this way has so many negative second and third order effects. Disrespect of a parent, backtalk, blatant eye rolling, etc., all of which I have received. While I do my best to create a different experience, we have collectively created a system that is not doing our children any favors in the long run. The girls are being rescued by you often, given a way out, to the point where they are now repeating those ways out to me. These photos illustrate this method of parenting, not parenting together and often having my input rejected. I watch the girls get rescued all the time by you, yet there doesn't seem to be anyone around to rescue me. The picture of our room reflect all that I don't get to and all that piles up to. Speaking for my things, it's overwhelming to tackle when I think about the mess everywhere else. The state of our room is the state of my life in this house. Everything has a trickle-down effect, and rescuing kids from their responsibilities like you do means there's more of me, either a physical mess or an emotional mess that occurs or ensues from attempting to get the order of the older two to do things they've been made to think isn't important or necessary. Lack of consistency makes life a struggle for everyone. Because doing the dishes really isn't that hard. Because removing the dishes from their list of chores is an easy out. Because there's something about being responsible for the dishes and the kitchen that makes people less susceptible to making giant messes and using multiple sets of dishes, cups, silverware, because they know what it's like to have to clean it up. Because it gives kids the opportunity to learn to put things away and where things can be found and become self-reliant in that way. By the time I got to high school, my job was to do the kitchen, not just the dishes, the entire kitchen. Because having responsibilities with the dishes in the kitchen is holistic and touches on a number of different areas of responsibility and development. Okay, that's what she shared with me. She shared verbally some other things. Let me point out some of the points that she made in this letter. First of all, her husband enables the children because he feels helping at home is not that important at this age. Just to say the word enabling doesn't really sound as destructive as it really is. But listen to the definition of this word, enabling. Enabling is the act of supporting or facilitating someone's negative or harmful behavior, often out of a sense of love, compassion, or a desire to protect them. It involves enabling someone to continue their destructive habits or addiction, shielding them from the consequences of their actions, and preventing them from learning to take responsibility for their behavior. Enabling ultimately hinders personal growth, recovery, and accountability for the individual involved. Enabling. The word itself, as I mentioned, doesn't sound as destructive as it really is. Another thing that she brought out was that the children are allowed to choose not just what they'll do, but when they do something, and will usually not do it because it's done for them by their father. Their excuses for not doing something is accepted. One daughter gets out of doing chores by using homework as an excuse over and over again. Another thing is that they're not learning how to take and own their responsibilities because they're not giving any. She also sees this already interfering with building strong attributes such as a strong character, pride, commitment, grit, self-worth, and on and on. She sees herself as the object of disrespect from the children because they see her as the enforcer. Parents, it is crucial for you to be on the same page when it comes to parenting because it provides consistency and stability for children. Approaching parenting the same reduces confusion for the child and it fosters a sense of security. And this consistency and discipline, rules and expectations will help children know and understand boundaries and develop self-discipline. A united front is necessary. A united front strengthens the parent-child bond and it promotes a harmonious family environment. The Bible tells us in Mark 3, chapter 3, verse 25, if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And when husband and wife are not parenting together, that's division. A united approach also will allow the parents to effectively communicate and problem solve together. Needless to say, this will help them address challenges that arise in a constructive, well thought out, and unified manner. Ultimately, being on the same sheet of music, parents, will create a supportive and nurturing environment in which your child can thrive emotionally, mentally, and socially. Parents, you may or may not be going through something similar to this. If you are, remember, you're not alone. And also, most of all, remember, it is never, ever too late to get in step and to get on the same sheet of music. The Bible teaches that families are a source of blessing from God. We need to love, to respect, and to care for each other and to build a foundation for a strong, healthy, and happy family. God blesses children who obey their parents and blesses parents with children. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3 says. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your mother and your father. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. The Bible emphasizes the importance of family relationships, both physical and spiritual. Parents, God wants the best for you and for your family. He wants you to succeed as a family. He wants His success for you. And it is never, ever too late to get it together. Pray, seek His guidance, and remember to parent on purpose. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Purposeful Parenting. For more tips on parenting, or if you would like to reach out, please visit me on harrietrowe.com and follow me on Facebook, Harriet Rowe. That's Harriet with two T's. I look forward to grabbing a cup of tea or coffee with you next week. Feel free to invite a friend. Until then, this is Harriet Rowe reminding you to parent on purpose.